Welcome, everybody. If, theoretically speaking, things might look different, unless I fuck it up, in which case, this will be completely weird.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a new fancy little logo here, if you look on your phone screen.
I'm sure you did when you downloaded the episode.
Yeah, or, I don't know, sometimes my things don't refresh, so if yours didn't, well then, sorry. It will look the same, but it's our Twitter is different, but the same.
Our name is different.
Our name is different. Oh, there's more differences. More differences. We've evolved. Like
so many differences.
So many. It's like this is like Pikachu evolving into whatever Pikachu evolves into. I picked the one Pokemon I couldn't think of.
God, Raichu.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, Raichu. It's maturation, you know?
Exactly.
Growth.
We're older. We're wiser.
We're not the 20-year-old kids we were, you know? We're 25-year-olds now.
We're 25. Mid-20s.
My back hurts every morning. I gotta stretch.
He tells me about it. My back is okay, though, right now.
Well, you're one lucky son of a bitch.
So yes,
and it's mostly the slight shame I get when I say my podcast is Drinking Buddies, and people say, "Are you 25?"
No, you know, we thought it was time to retire the old name and bring in the new name. Also, you know, with time, as the podcast evolved into whatever it is, the drinking element has not been as prevalent. It's usually something we forget to say most episodes.
Well, if we're being honest, that was the thing from the beginning.
Yeah.
That's always been the case.
Also, we just never say our names, so now we don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
That was the other. That was the other reason. Yeah, it's in the fucking name. Like
my inner narcissist really loves the name change.
Exactly, it's just right on there in bold letters.
Yeah, should we say the name?
Well, they've probably read it by now. But yes, this is now.
That's
this
true.
Is not,
we don't need to say it. Never mind.
Yeah. Right. Skip that part. No. Yeah. Welcome to the Noah and Eric show. Not a podcast, a show.
That just rolls off the tongue.
This is like marketing 101, you know?
Yeah. Fucking, like, schmucks have podcasts. We have a fucking show.
Exactly. This isn't just another podcast. This is a fucking show. Did I think of the name while watching The Simpsons and there was this itchy and scratchy show segment? Perhaps. But, nevertheless, it rolls off the tongue.
Is copied off of other great art.
Exactly. They couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah. Oh, it's exciting. You know, we'll always hold Drinking Buddies era in our heart. You know, that was the beginning of our roots.
Exactly.
But we're moving on to another phase.
It's a new day. Now, so what does that new phase look like? Well, like, pretty much like the old phase.
Exactly the same.
We're not really changing much of anything with the actual show itself, so don't fret, or I apologize if you were hoping that this would mark a new era. Really, it's just the same show with a more honest title.
Yeah. We're trying to cut down to what this is about, and it's really about our opinions.
Yeah, exactly. So we will still do movie episodes. We'll talk about what we're doing this episode in a second. We're going to have guests galore. We have a guest episode hopefully happening in the next couple weeks. Well, in your guys' world, it'll be a few weeks. But in our world, it'll be in a couple weeks. So that'll be fun. So yeah, we have lots of fun stuff. It's going to be pretty much the same stuff, just slightly different.
Just a different thing when you look at your screen.
Yeah, exactly. We have a fancy new logo. It looks cool.
It does look really cool. I'm into the logo.
Yeah.
looks so, retro in a way, you know?
Yeah, retro. You know, did I try and match the font to the font from the Itchy and Scratchy show? Perhaps. But we're not talking about that anymore. Why are you guys keep bringing it up?
We're not a Simpsons podcast. Why would you, like, what? Yeah, it's not relevant.
Yeah, it's just, so just drop it. Drop it, everyone, all right?
God damn it, drop it!
Okay, so, like I mentioned, we are, the show's not changing, and an example of that is that this first episode in this new era, first off, we're keeping the numbers. We're not resetting the numbers. We're not going back to one. That just seems like a huge waste of time.
We're too fucking into this.
Yeah, we're too fucking. Yeah. So this
we've
is
already made it so fucking far.
Yeah, this is officially episode 76, and it is going to be a six-pack, because we're still doing six-packs.
Nothing's really changing.
Yeah, nothing.
Can't stress that enough.
Just it is a more honest title. The branding matches the show better. We are doing underrated things as broadly as that means.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm excited. I base my entire life on judging things on whether they are overrated or underrated. I think you can attest to this, Eric. Most of the time, I get mad at things that are overrated, and I actively hate them because of that.
Right.
And I do the opposite for underrated things.
Right. So was underrated things a difficult list for you to put together?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit difficult. I think that's because I'm quite a cynical person now, and there are not many good things in our world.
Interesting. Underrated. I thought of a lot of things, but I don't really have, like, it was difficult for me to put them in an order. You know, like I just thought of, like, you know, like a scattershot of things that I like.
Yeah,
but it was hard to, like, you know, I didn't feel like as strongly about then maybe like underrated things. So all right, we are going to go through our top six. We will have some honorable mentions as well.
Wait.
You, wow.
What are you drinking?
Are we still doing this?
Because I'm excited to share what I'm drinking today.
Oh, well, of course. I'm drinking a margarita.
I'm drinking a mead because I'm...
Oh, fuck you.
Yeah, you're goddamn right I'm drinking a mead. Celebrating the changes. Or the change. The singular change.
It's a change. Well, I guess it's, you know, it's a logo and...
Oh, you know, true.
We could have just changed the name. In fact, I already changed the Twitter name, but I doubt anyone noticed.
Oh, yeah, no chance. All right, but I'm ready to jump in.
Okay, you're ready now.
No, yeah, we got it all out of the way.
Yeah. Well, I was, like, changing. I was, like, figuring out what I could and couldn't change and, like, what I need to do to change names over and stuff. And I saw that Noah and Eric's show was an available handle on Twitter. And so I had to take it because I knew someone would have taken it in, like, the week before we would have put all the stuff up. So
yeah.
Had to do it.
That other Noah and Eric with a K fuckers would have beat us to it.
We see you, and we got you. You know, you can get us.
You got. That's what happened. And another benefit is we don't have to compete with bedroom drinking anymore.
Yeah, that was the other reason, is that there's like 5,000 podcasts with the variant of the old name, and now there are zero.
I can't imagine there's another Noah and Eric show.
No, maybe a Noah and Eric podcast, but that's fucking amateur.
That's not us. We're not
this
a podcast.
Is a fucking
we're a show.
Show. All right. Okay. You want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
I can start off.
Okay.
My number six most underrated things: Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts are a fantastic vegetable.
I love this episode already. I kind of agree.
Olive oil. Get some salt and pepper. You roast them.
Yeah. If you roast them with salt, pepper, olive oil, perfect. That's all you need. They're good.
That's all you need. It's simple. It's quick, or not. I wouldn't say it's quick. You know, you got to roast them for a while.
Yeah.
But they're fucking bomb, and they're so good. One of our better vegetables that gets forgotten.
It gets just actively shit on.
It gets actively shit on. Exactly. But if you do it right, it's fucking bomb. It's a really good side dish.
Yeah.
Do you ever eat at a fuck, every time I try to bring up a reference, I forget what it's called. It's this like chain that like prides himself on being healthy and organic.
I don't know.
Well, I don't either. But regardless, they make some bomb ass Brussels sprouts.
Cool.
And that is what I have to say.
I couldn't even, like, is there anything...
Off to a roaring start with our new show.
Is there anything more specific about that, or just a healthy chain?
It's a healthy chain.
Is it actually healthy, or is it, like, Subway?
No, it's, like, actually healthy. Wait, I can go on my maps thing right now.
Is it, it's like a buffet? One of those?
Kind of. I wouldn't say it's a buffet, but it's like a line, you know, like that.
Is it like Fresh Choice? Or no. Sweet Tomatoes?
Urban Plates.
I don't know. I've never been to an Urban Plates, I don't think.
It might be a California thing.
Maybe.
But Urban Plates has excellent Brussels sprouts.
Well, I'll take note of that the next time I see an Urban Plates.
Yeah, you're welcome, everyone.
My number six... I went in a different direction. Although I also like Brussels sprouts, and they do get actively shit on now that I think about it. I just didn't come to
they
my
do.
Mind.
Everybody hates Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, but they're wrong. My number six is hot sake.
Hot sake. We went very different directions. Yeah. But I like that it's like food and beverage, you know? It's kind of the same vein.
It's like,
all right, lay it on me.
It's not like... You know, I mean, sake can be good. Like, there's, like, craft sake. But, like, even, like, just the cheap, shitty, like, house sake that's just really hot at, like, a sushi or Japanese restaurant, it's like the alcohol equivalent of black coffee. You know, it's like, sometimes black coffee is just great because it's what you need to just slap you in the face and wake you up. And it's like the alcohol version of that, where it's just, like, it's basically liquid rubber, but it hits right, you know?
You kind of won me over a little bit with the black coffee, but you lost me because black coffee is actually delicious and is an essential part of my life. I don't think I've ever had hot sake before. I don't like sake, like when it's top end, it's really fucking good.
Yeah, it
is. But when it's not, I can barely do it.
There's a really good sake distillery here in Oregon, in Forest Grove. It's pretty good.
Of course.
Yeah. Even like the cheap stuff, there's a time and place for it, you know?
Yeah. I get that. what about, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
What about the hotness part of it pushes it over the edge?
I just feel like, you know, because if it's like just room temperature, then it's just bad liquor. You know, there's something about the heat where it just like I think it gets like a little thicker, and it just like slides down your throat and just warms you up.
I can imagine they're like in the winter, you know, like a hot liquor, you know, it warms you up inside, and then it warms you up because you get a little tipsy. I can see that.
You get that like immediate just kind of you start coughing, you know, because it's just gross hot liquor. But sometimes you need
that's gonna warm you up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the pain distracts you from the coldness.
Right.
It sounds like vodka in the USSR, you know? It's essential.
Right. Don't they serve vodka really cold, like freeze it, like right out of the freezer?
No, that's very true. It doesn't make a ton of sense.
No, but it's kind of like the opposite. I mean, they're obviously very cold, but I think even like if you put vodka in the freezer, it does like get a little like thick and almost syrupy kind of texture. Like,
yeah, takes the bite off a little bit.
Yeah. Sake number six. What is your fifth one?
Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, great pick.
Yeah. He makes everything he's in better. Like, and not, maybe not everything he's in is good, but he makes everything better. He was in Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
He was in ER. Even Stevens was a classic show. Classic fucking show. He was in iRobot. He was and then, you know, kind of went crazy for a little bit, but that's fine. We still love him. He was in Transformers, which were very bad, but actually those early ones weren't too bad. And yeah, he was the reason why. He kind of carried that franchise.
There was definitely a time, yeah, there was a moment where they were good. I mean, yeah, the first one was a lot of fun, and then, yeah, that he was in Holes.
Oh yeah. My god, that was, I can't believe I forgot Holes. That might be his best movie.
Yeah. He was in that new Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm. And then he, like, the last, like, 5 or so years, he's kind of been on a renaissance. He's kind of making a comeback. Honey Boy was really good. American Honey was really good. I haven't seen the Peanut Butter Falcon, but that's supposed to be a really good movie.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you've seen it. I have not. I saw Honey Boy. Honey Boy was good.
Honey Boy was the one where he played his dad, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's got some good movies coming out that, like, look promising. He's got something called Don't Worry, Darling, which is a psychological thriller centering on the unhappy housewife in the 1950s. And he, Olivia Wilde directs and stars with it, and Florence Pugh is also in it. That's going to be a good movie.
That sounds good. Yeah,
Shia LaBeouf, man.
Tax Collector movie's coming out, and I've heard I've heard mixed things about that, but I think he individually is good in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whether a movie is good or bad, he fucking performs every time. He comes in. Yeah. He's so charismatic. There's just something charismatic about him. I don't get it. The dude's kind of like not a charismatic guy in the typical sense, but he is.
No, yeah, he was like, he was gonna be, you know, like, he was projected to be, like, in, I guess, like, what we think of was of, like, an Affleck or Bradley Cooper type, and it kind of went off the rails for him for a little bit, but he is having a comeback.
Justice for Shia LaBeouf.
Justice for Shia LaBeouf.
Which I, if we're being honest, it's Shia LaBeouf, or whatever the fuck his name is. I always, like, think of it as, like, Shia is like his first name, and then Buff is his last name. That's just how it works in my brain.
Okay, I see it.
Just thought I wanted to come clean today on this podcast.
My fifth. Okay, so here's where I don't feel. I'm gonna make the argument for it. This person is like, because like a few of my things are like universally acclaimed, but I don't feel like they get the respect they deserve, you know?
Yeah.
And so my number five is David Gilmour.
Okay. He's known as one of the best guitarists of all time, but
I don't feel like in the mainstream realm that he is. And I feel like he's like better than a lot of the like who are considered the great guitarists in like that mainstream music mm-hmm. world, and that's where I'm coming from with this, where he's like, he's honestly incredibly influential, like he's up there, like of that generation of, like he's probably as influential as like, I this is like shock people, but this is a hot take, but he's probably as influential. Huh?
Don't say Jimmy.
No, I'm gonna say a Jimmy. I'm gonna say Jimmy Page.
Okay.
Yeah, not that Jimmy.
They're two Jimmys.
I think he might even be more influential than Jimmy Page, because I think he was just like experimental in ways that Jimmy Page just wasn't. But Jimmy Page was like really fucking good at what he did.
Jimmy Hall is pretty fucking good.
Yeah,
I like. One thing about Gilmore I really like, I feel like all of those guitarists at the time, like Page and I don't want to think much more, but all those guitarists at the time were just shredding and going as fast as they could. But yeah. David Gilmour was like, I'm gonna do my own thing. It's not always going to be shredding, but it's going to be fucking psychedelic and it's going to be baller still.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get credit for that. You know, I'm sure he could play what Jimmy Page played on a certain level. But he didn't do that.
Yeah.
He played his own style.
His shit's really hard to play. Like, it is. It's slower, but it's like he's doing, like, the bends he does are actually very hard. Like, they're not normal steps up to make with a bend. I don't know how to explain it. But, like, it's just, he plays the guitar differently than other people. And I feel like there's more, if you were to, like, pull, like, a bunch of professional guitarists now, I feel like more of them would be, like, I want to sound like David Gilmour. Like, I want his sound more than like a Page or, you know, one of those guys.
Yeah.
So in that respect,
because I agree. Because like on some level, maybe Page was like a top three at what he did, but there was also like 50 guitarists that could do like 85-90% of what he did. You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Like it was a common thing.
Yeah. It's just.
I think you could. Go ahead and say Pink Floyd in general is underrated.
Yeah, I thought about that. I went specifically David Gilmour, but yeah, this argument kind of applies to them as well.
Yeah, I feel like they get boiled down to Dark Side of the Moon and kind of The Wall at the same time, you know. But they got like five or six albums deep that are really fucking good.
Yeah, yeah, and they're just. They were just so inventive. Like they just really didn't give a shit about, because they weren't blues guys, and I think that's what separated them from so many of that era. Is like rock was so fundamentally born out of blues, and I love blues and blues rock, but like there's certain boundaries. Yeah, there's just certain boundaries that come with that, and they just didn't. They were not really musicians, like only a couple of them were, at least at first. Obviously they were in a very famous band for like several decades. They figured it out.
One of the most successful bands of all time.
But like I remember, like their story, like I think like Roger Waters like had to tune all their instruments at their first gigs because no one knew how except him. There's like shit like that, like
that's a great story.
And then like the whole Syd Barrett stuff, which like I think people probably, I mean, that could be an overrated. Some people like overrate the Syd Barrett stuff, I think, a little bit.
Some people think that's like way better than what Pink Floyd did.
I like it. I like it, but like not like that, you know?
Yeah. It's a little too much for me. I was about to ask you about it. I listen to it and I'm like, okay, I see what they're doing and I see the evolution from that to
exactly.
Once Syd's gone to where Pink Floyd ends up.
I think that's what it is, yeah. Yeah, it's a very unrefined just, and it also like the Syd Barrett stuff was like that was stuff they were just playing live. Well, they didn't really have songs then. They were just like they would just play in front of people for just an allotted amount of time, and they like basically had to when they got enough popularity that you had to make an album because that's what you did then. You know, it wasn't today's era, and so. They're like, well, I guess we need to cut this into songs. And stuff.
How does this work?
And then that's how, like, that's why they had, there's so many weird songs on that first album, because they just didn't have real songs that were their sound. So Syd Barrett,
I didn't know that's how the album came about.
Yeah, that's basically it. I mean, like, there's a song on the first album that's like 10 minutes or so, and that's basically like, they cut 10 minutes out of one of their just improv jams, which was basically their entire sets were just improv jams. So they're just like, this 10 minutes will be one of the songs. And then like Syd Barrett was like, oh, I can write a song about a gnome and a scarecrow and a bike. And that's the second half of the first album.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That must have just been crazy to be like a fly on the wall of like just their lives during that time.
This is a lot of drugs.
So many fucking drugs.
But I think they went to a good college. Like, I want to say this was at... They met at, like, Cambridge or something.
Oh, that'd be incredible.
I'm a fact check this, but I want to say they were like a college band at the beginning, and then Syd Barrett.
There are like I feel like there are just so many like all time great musicians that come from like genius schools. Like Brian May is like an astrophysicist from Queen, the guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's a fucking genius.
And isn't one of the other ones of Queen is like he was like an electrician or something like that, or like he had like a real technical skills, and then he was
yeah. I can't remember the specifics, but yeah, it wasn't just what's his face, Brian May.
Yeah. So yeah, they have an interesting story, and then yeah, Syd Barrett did so many drugs that he couldn't be in the band anymore.
Didn't he die? But like he died, right?
He did, but he was still alive.
Oh yeah.
He was still alive for. When did he die? I know, like "Shine On You Crazy Diamond" is about him. It was written for him. He died.
I think that whole album was kind of dedicated to him.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish he were here. He died in 2006.
Oh wow!
But he was just couldn't travel and.
Yeah, yeah. He.
But he was still. He was still like semi-involved for like the first few out. He was only on the first one, but he was still semi-involved in the next couple. I think he was friends with David Gilmour. Like I think he had the relationship with him, and then like when it was clear that Barrett was not capable of being in the band, he was like he joined. So yeah. David Gilmour / Pink Floyd is my fifth.
All right. Are you ready for my fourth? Because it's kind of similar, but also way different.
Okay.
You know who's super fucking underrated, Eric?
I'm curious. I have what I think is a surprising musician that I didn't make my list, but I will talk about them in my honorary mention. So there's a part of me that really hopes it's this, but I doubt it.
ABBA!
Okay. They're good. No, they're good. It's not mine. Mine's weirder somehow, but yes, it's good.
I'm so bummed. I was really hoping to be the same.
No, yeah.
ABBA's still fucking good. They're one of the best pop groups of all time, and they don't get the credit because they're Swedish.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Let me just list some songs. Mm-hmm. Dancing Queen. Bang. Mamma Mia. Bang. Waterloo. Bang. Fernando. Take a Chance on Me. One. Take a chance on me. Okay. Name of the Game. I can't sing that one. Super Trooper. Fucking. That's my fucking jam, Eric. Do you know that one?
I don't know.
This is going to quickly become a concert. It just made me sing ABBA songs. Super Trooper. Ba, 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 ba,
oh, yeah. I know that one. If it was in Mamma Mia, I know it.
That's a good lead in my next point. The Mamma Mia movies are such a good. They're so entertaining. They're so much fun. You got ABBA songs. You got Amanda Seyfried, and then Lily James in the second one. What else do you need? I love it. ABBA's fantastic. Those musicals are built on ABBA because they got so many good fucking songs.
I didn't know that for a long time.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that they like that some guy wrote the musical because he's like, oh, he just like linked the ABBA songs together, right? And then
yeah, and it works so well.
It does. It really does.
But there's like, they are on the same level of like pop music, as like all of the greats of like NSYNC. NSYNC, Michael Jackson, Britney Spears, anybody from the 80s, except for maybe Prince.
Prince is like, kind of something.
They are just on another level. Like they are as good as anybody you could name.
I'm surprised that there hasn't been more like musicals in the, you know, like with that model, with the Mamma Mia model, you know, like take an artist's song and build The music.
That is a very good point. It feels quite like, how do you not do that with like the Beatles? You could do that very easily, you know. Yeah.
There's that Cirque du Soleil show, but I don't know if that's, I don't really think that's the same thing.
That doesn't count. No, it's got to be a movie, right? Like that Cirque du Soleil show doesn't really have a plot, you know, as far as I understand it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But yeah, you're totally right. Like, it could be a very common thing. I guess they kind of, no, they did that with Yesterday in a way. It was kind of a musical.
I mean, I'm sure there have been them, but like that have been like Mamma Mia. Mamma Mia is like, it's kind of set like that. It was like a seminal, like that's a movie that stands on its own.
It is. It was a major hit.
Yeah. So I'm just surprised that someone hasn't been able to craft that out of like, I mean, you can make like a weird movie off like Lady Gaga stuff.
Hell yeah. I mean, you got all Lady Gaga stuff, and then you got A Star Is Born, which I consider putting on the underrated list because it didn't win an Oscar. Spoiler alert for my my honorable mentions.
Yeah. yeah, ABBA's a good pick. All right. My fourth. This one I think we'll be in agreement on, and of what's left on my list, this might be, I think this has the best chance of being on yours, or at least in your honorable mentions. My fourth pick is going to be the horror genre.
Oh, hell yeah. It wasn't on either, but absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just, as a connoisseur, I want to see, you know, my beloved genre get the respect it deserves.
We need to stand up for what we are passionate about.
I mean, yeah.
When it comes down to, that's what the Noah and Eric show is about.
The Noah and Eric horror show. No, I mean, we joke about, you know, how our connoisseur level status, but there's a lot of good stuff, and I feel like the genre just kind of gets like shit on and like kind of reduced to the stereotypical stuff, which there is, but there's that in every genre.
There's that, yeah. There's absolutely that in every genre. And there's just so much to love about horror movies. You have it's like, in a way, it's predictable, which I think a lot of people don't like. But I think that's a good thing. Sometimes, like, and you get this romantic comedies too. Sometimes you want to sit down in a movie and kind of have an idea of where it's going. And that's like, that's really nice, and that's reassuring. In a lot of ways, horror movies are kind of reassuring. They're stress relief, right? And I kind of like that. And then sometimes a horror movie will catch you by surprise, and you're like, damn, they fucking did it, and that's awesome. Yeah.
Well, like, yeah, like, like a great example, like Rosemary's Baby, I recently watched. That movie it's so good, and like, you know what's happening, but it's still like, it's good. And also, like, especially, you know, in these troubling times, sometimes it's like nice to see a slasher movie. Like, as,
it
like,
is.
As like, but I don't think, is that messed up to say? I don't feel like it is.
No. It feels simpler, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre the other day.
Yeah.
Which. And yeah, it was like, oh, this is such a simple, like, have you seen it before?
I have not.
The plot is kind of just a bunch of hippies get killed by evil people with a chainsaw, you know, or an evil person with a chainsaw.
So sign me up.
It's very simple, and it's yeah, exactly. It was nice. Another great thing about horror movies, they're short.
Yeah, they're usually pretty short.
It's like an hour and a half, you know?
There, yeah.
A lot of times it's shorter. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you can't really drag a horror movie out too much beyond that. I guess, yeah, I think like 2 hours is about the limit most of the time.
Yeah. I think Get Out might have been 2 hours long. And that could have been as long as it fucking wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. Yeah, some of them are simple. And then some of them are much more complex than, like, I think the genre is giving credit for. Like, I did you watch Mandy?
Not yet. No, I'm getting to it.
Man, if you can't watch this is just a blanket statement for everyone. If you can't watch the last hour, the movie's only 2 hours long, but we'll have to talk about it on another podcast once you watch it. If you can't watch the second half of Mandy and not say like this has value, this is a piece of art that has value. I mean, there's, you don't like movies. I don't know what to say.
I'm in, yeah, absolutely.
That's all I'll say.
I haven't seen the movie and I'm in. Horror movies, though. Yeah. They're fantastic.
They are. What is your third pick?
All right. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Dogs That Lick Your Face.
Okay.
What more do you want than unconditional love from a dog? Like, I get, like, if it's a dog, you don't... Having a dog that, like you're petting it, you know, you're giving it a good rub down, petting behind the ears, and it's licking your face. And that is genuine connection right there. It's fantastic. It makes you happy. It's reciprocated, you know. And a lot of people are against that, and I just say get over yourself. It's
who's
a fucking dog.
Who's against it? Or like,
I don't know. I don't want to name names on this podcast. We don't put people on blast here.
What is their address?
I want you. We know who you are on this podcast.
Yeah,
and we judge you.
Well, first of all, I know it's out of habit, but this isn't a podcast; it's a show.
Oh, shit. Okay. You on this show, we like dogs that lick.
Okay. All right.
Faces.
I will lick faces. Okay. Sounds good.
That was a weird one, right?
Yeah, it was.
I got you a little off in the day.
I was not expecting it. I don't know. Okay, my third one. This is a dish that I feel is kind of a holiday dish. It's definitely a religious dish, but I feel like a lot more people should enjoy it. It's latkes, the fried potatoes that we eat at Hanukkah. They're good. It's like
absolutely,
they're fried potato
yes.
pancakes. They're fucking incredible.
They're so good. I've only had them a couple times. Only at Hanukkah parties.
Yeah.
And why, like, has obviously gentrification and white people stealing stuff is bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me get that out of the way. But how have white people not stolen, white non-Jewish people not stolen latkes? They're so good.
They're delicious, and I don't really understand why they're not just like real common, you know?
Yeah, like they're good as like a side. They're good. They make a great snack.
Yeah,
kind of everything.
Yeah. So shout out to latkes. I feel like they should be eaten all the time, and I feel like everyone would like them. So Trader Joe's has, in typical Trader Joe's fashion, they have this, I guess there is like a Japanese kind of version of a latke. It's like a potatoes with like a bunch of vegetables and stuff. They're so fucking good.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That's, I trust anything Trader Joe's does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever gotten the, everything bagel, seasoning from Trader Joe's?
I have it in my pantry right now. What are you talking about?
I put that on everything. I put that on my eggs in the morning, on my sandwich. They are so good on a sandwich.
What kind of? Like,
there's never a bad time.
Any type of sandwich, or is it like a specific pairing?
I only have turkey sandwiches if I'm making it myself.
Okay.
So turkey sandwiches, you know, you like. But okay, but let me explain.
Not just
avocado.
Any turkey sandwich.
Not just any turkey sandwich. Okay. My lunch sandwiches are the highlight of my day. I really look forward to them. So you get bread, throw some avocado on it, and not some, like a good amount of avocado, you know? Mm-hmm. It's California after all. You throw a little bit of mayo. You don't need a ton, just a little bit of mayo.
Okay.
Some of that bagel seasoning, you know, yeah, yeah. And then the turkey and then the cheese.
Like a provolone or is it cheddar?
A little fancy, go Munster cheese. Because oh. I live at home, so my parents pay for my food. I go Munster.
Do you eat it before or after you polish your monocle?
It's good, though. If you're ever looking to splurge, try some Munster cheese on your sandwich. Oh, I hate myself.
Wow. Sounds awful.
Sounds ridiculous. It's not awful, though. It is incredible. But when I'm home, if I'm not working that day, I'll toast it, you know? Like, I'll put on a pan, melt the cheese a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So what was sandwiches?
No.
What were we talking about?
We got here from latkes.
Latkes, right. Yeah. Latkes are really good.
Yeah, they are. All right. What's your second?
My number two most underrated thing is the Winter Olympics.
Wow.
I think they're just as good as the Summer Olympics.
Okay. I don't know if I agree.
Okay, I can sense that. I took the liberty of preparing.
Oh, thank you. New show, new Noah.
I prepped and everything. We didn't spend an hour of me Googling stuff before we start recording.
Wow.
And the top five of my personal top five, which okay. I assume most people have, of each one, on the Winter Olympics, you have bobsleigh, which maybe is the best of all of them, of all Olympic sports, because bobsleigh is fucking awesome.
It's pretty damn good.
You have figure skating, and then you have gymnastics on the summer side. But in reality, isn't figure skating just gymnastics on ice skates?
Kinda, I guess.
That's plus one winner right there.
Okay.
Speaking of that, you have So you have figure skating, you have alpine skiing, which you're just going down those slopes, going across those sticks, you know? Yeah, that's pretty fucking cool. You have curling, which everybody loves a good curl now and then.
Yeah, because everyone thinks they can do it. That's the best type of Olympic sport.
Yeah, because you think you can do it, and you're like, oh, if I just spent one summer trying, I'd be able to do this.
Yeah.
And then you have speed skating, which is also awesome because of the high stakes. Right, you know, if somebody falls down, everybody falls down.
Yeah.
On the summer side, you have some good stuff. Don't get me wrong. Gymnastics, not as good as ice skating. It's just not. You have volleyball, which is a good sport. Diving, which is pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
Ping pong, which if that's on the top five, you got some problems. And then so much of it, most of Summer Olympics, Eric, mm-hmm. is literally just people running. I don't want to watch that. That's not interesting.
That's true. I mean, like, you do have, like, the boating shit, which I love. Like, I love the rapids when they're, like, the kayaking shit.
The rapids are cool, but I thought you were going after sailing, and I was a little bit nervous because I'm not into the sailing part.
So sometimes, and not the sailing, but, like, the rapids first and foremost, but then, like, when they're, like, racing the boats and they're, like, rowing. Rowing, I think, is the technical term. That's all right.
Oh, rowing is all right.
But I guess, like, for, like, and also, if you think of, like, star power, like, usually that's brought in the summer, you think of, like, basketball, which is not very fun to watch. Conversely, winter, it'd be hockey, and that's a lot more fun to watch.
Because you have the U.S.-Canada rival, you know?
Yeah, other countries are good.
USSR.
Yeah. There's, you know, we're not guaranteed to win that one. It feels good to win hockey, you know? It's an achievement.
Exactly, yeah. And then you have, like, soccer, which is, like, kind of all right, but it is just nowhere near as good as the World Cup.
Yeah, it's all, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess you showed me a little bit, like, yeah, the skiing stuff is good. Have you ever seen the snowboard cross? That shit is...
I've seen snowboarding, but the cross... What's the cross part?
It's just a race with, like, they, like, five of them will race at the same time. And, like, they do, like, heats, you know, until there's a gold medalist.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That shit's good.
That shit's really good, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, I feel like during the Winter Olympics, it's, like, cold outside, so you're inside, you know, you have a fire and you're watching all these cold people be cold. And then summer, I feel like I'm just busier.
Yeah, I can see that. I doubt it. Are they shifting the Winter Olympics because of all this? I mean, the Summer Olympics are theoretically happening next summer, which at the time seemed like a reasonable response, and now it seems maybe optimistic.
50-50, right? Yeah. No, the rest of the world is going to have it, and then we won't be invited.
That's actually a very real possibility. Even then, I still think... I don't know, though.
Because it's not till 20... Isn't the winter not till 2021 or 2022?
Be 2022. Yeah, 2022. This year was supposed to be summer. They're supposed to be happening, like, now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it would be 2022.
That feels very realistic to me.
Yeah. I'm not sure about next summer. Like, I think things will be better, but, like, are they going to be willing to, like, have people from every country of the world travel to one place in a year?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
There's got to be a reliable vaccine, or I feel like probably not.
2022 is supposed to be happening in, yeah, February 2022 in Beijing. Which they
I
had.
Didn't know Beijing got cold.
They had.
Didn't Beijing get a Summer Olympics?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Yes, they did.
That's incredible. God, the United States has no shot if one city is getting both. Holy shit. You don't see LA getting Winter Olympics.
Yeah, no fucking chance. No fucking chance.
That would be laughable.
Milan is 2026. We're getting one soon, though, aren't we? Aren't we getting a summer one?
Yeah, I think it's coming to LA, right?
Yeah, 2028.
My dad worked the LA Olympics when it came here in the 80s, I think.
Yeah, and my mom did too.
Oh, no way. Wow. Yeah. That was kind of he got a free TV out of it for whatever reason.
Oh, just a television?
Yeah, they just gave him a television. And apparently the traffic, there was like no traffic in LA, and because everybody was like, I'm going to stay off the freeways because the Olympics are here and the traffic's going to be terrible. But because of that, there was no traffic. What a coincidence! Both of our parents worked the LA Olympics.
What did he do?
Man, I can't remember.
That's fair.
I'll ask him. What did your mom do?
She was like part of the opening ceremony thing.
And do you know, like, in what capacity?
I don't know specifics. She did. She danced. You know how there's, like, a lot of dancers?
Yeah, hell yeah, that's sick. My dad was not doing something that cool.
I think she was one of them, but I am not 100% sure. But I believe that is the story. I'm sure she's screaming at the podcast right now.
Yeah. Winter Olympics, though, incredibly underrated.
All right. I'll see it. Was that was your second, right?
That was my number two.
Okay, my number two. Mexican beers with lime.
Yes. Okay. I'm in.
Yeah. That's like honestly one of the best beers.
It's got to have a lime.
Yeah. With lime. With lime.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. A Pacifico with lime. Hell yeah.
It's one of
Corona
the best.
Corona with lime. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Without lime, not as good. But. Yeah, Mexican beer with lime. I don't really have much else to add. I just think Mexican beers with limes are really good.
No, I agree. Like, I think it's like, I feel a lot of people rail on Coronas and Pacificos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's insane. Corona with a lime on a summer afternoon, there's not much better in this world. I've said that plenty. I probably said this on the podcast before.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, no, it's just a great 1-2 punch. One of the best 1-2 punches this world has is yeah. Corona or Pacifico with lime.
100%.
Yeah. Do you want to run through some honorary mentions?
I do. Okay. I already mentioned The Star Is Born is underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Should have won the Oscar. God damn it. Should have won every Oscar. Lady mm-hmm. Gaga deserved an Oscar. Bradley Cooper deserved an Oscar for directing and for acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. Probably should have won an Oscar for Best Picture. My other honorable mention is mm-hmm. You know that feeling you have after you like, and you're just really tired, you know? That sleep is incredible.
The sleep after you're tired?
Sleep, like, specific, like, water tired. If you're, like, at the beach all day, or if you're at the pool all day,
and then
you, like, you're out. You're, like, mm-hmm. dead in bed, you know, for, like, 8-9 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. That is good. Do you have more honorable mentions?
No, that was my last one.
Okay, mine. I wrote playing fetch with your dog while it's off its leash.
You son of a bitch! you son of a bitch! I almost put on my underrated a dog that will play fetch.
Disc golf.
Yes,
it's a very. I mean, you can. There are people who are really good at it, but it's usually you could put no effort into it, and it's just walking around throwing shit with your friends.
It's and you're getting a little tipsy. No, disc golf is fucking sick.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I put Hulu. Because I low-key think it's, like, slowly, if not already, becoming better than Netflix. I feel like...
Hulu has, like... Netflix has given up on, like, getting non-Netflix stuff.
Exactly. And Hulu's
like, let me scoop all those up.
Yeah, Netflix is going all in on the original content. And some of it's good, but most of it is not great. Or, like, a lot of it's, like, mediocre at best. You know? Like, some of it's, like, fine. But a lot of it's garbage, and it's like that's basically where their platform's going.
And it's like garbage, and then it's like award, like it's like elite stuff, you know? It's like garbage, and you have like Marriage Story and The Irishman, and
Roma was Netflix.
Roma, and I can't even think of like an elite TV show they've had in a while.
I don't know.
I mean, Mindhunter.
Yeah, Mindhunter.
Yeah,
they do shit like. I mean, they did Tiger King, obviously. They have stuff.
Yeah,
like
they do good documentaries.
Last Chance U. But yeah, I mean, like generally speaking, especially like on movies, like Hulu. Hulu does have some movie stuff. But it's mostly TV. But yeah, I just feel like they're scooping up. They pretty much have like the 30-minute comedy on lock now, basically.
They do.
Especially with like The Office officially leaving Netflix at the end of the year, like it's over. Like Hulu's not getting that. It's going to NBC's service, but like, you know, I feel like Hulu's taking the crown.
They have, you know, they like because they kind of were the first to the scene. And then Netflix like stormed ahead, and Hulu's making a comeback. They are 100%. I'm on board.
Yeah, and it's mainly I'm not optimistic about like the original content direction Netflix is going in.
No,
I don't, because like you said, there's some stuff that's going to be great, but I think it's you named all that stuff, but like. they've made so many movies that aren't those things that you just named. And those are like the ones you named are like the only good ones.
Yeah. Their hit rate is so low.
Yeah.
So fucking low. Yeah. But they also do have that Ryan Gosling
The Gray Man.
They have that come out. So I'm going to throw on Netflix.
Mank or whatever that the Citizen Kane movie that they're going to try and win an Oscar with.
That's true. Yeah, cuz they have like two or three, the last three years they have like two or three really good movies and then like one or two pretty entertaining movies that's kind of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. And then the rest is just garbage.
Complete garbage.
Did you see Old Guard?
No, I don't think I've heard of Old Guard.
Speaking of entertaining and ridiculous, it's a Netflix original, and it is one of the entertaining but ridiculous.
What's the premise?
I think it's based on a comic. It's about like this group of people who are immortal, and they just fuck shit up, basically. That's basically the premise. She has like this special sword and she kills people with it like a lot. They create it in cool ways.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I like shit when shit's fucked up.
What was that other movie that you liked that was really bad but also really fun? Like the Three Underground or Six Underground or whatever.
Oh my god, Six Underground or some shit.
Yeah.
The Michael Bay movie.
Someone famous was the lead in that. Was it Ben Affleck?
I think it was Ben Affleck. The first like 30 minutes of the movie was just an action shit scene in Florence,
We loved Florence, but yeah, it was. I didn't know what was happening, and like I think I wasn't supposed to. Like I think that was a choice they made. It wasn't like they just didn't explain things well. They were just like,
it made zero sense the entire time. Like, yeah, it made no sense whatsoever. It was just explosion and portraying the women as sex objects. That was the entire movie.
It was
Ryan Reynolds too.
Oh, that's who it was. Yeah.
Which is perfect for that part. Like, not for that part because there wasn't a part, but perfect for that movie.
Yeah, no, it was just that opening scene was just people driving fast around Florence and like killing other people, but it was really unclear like who was on whose side, and like it was crazy.
I cannot recommend this movie enough.
Yeah, Hulu. Also honorable mention. This one is more like Katie Tunsil.
I don't know if I know who that is.
She had like a couple big hits and has been relatively like quiet from like the mainstream, at least here in the US since. Her big hits were Black Horse in a Cherry Tree and Suddenly I See.
Is it Suddenly I See?
Yeah, that's her.
That's a good song.
Yeah, it's a good song. But she is, like, way more talented than her studio stuff would make it seem, even though her studio stuff's pretty fun, because she wrote and still writes basically all her songs by herself with a looper. So, like, all her songs are built off being able to loop them live, and she still does live shows with just her and a looper.
Wow.
She's like really and you should see, like, it's worth YouTubing like Black Horse in a Cherry Tree like live loop stuff she does. And she also does like, I saw her, she did like a Kiss Prince cover on a looper and like at one of her shows.
Man.
Like, yeah.
You got me sold if you bring up Prince.
She's damn talented, and I feel like, you know, she's one of the many.
She's just the Suddenly I See girl.
Yeah, exactly. Like, a lot of people see her as just that, or the, yeah. Alright. Well, it's time for our number one most underrated thing I have no idea what yours is going to be. Do you want me to go first? Or do you want to go first?
I'll go first. You really don't have any idea?
I don't.
I was going to ask you if you had an idea.
I don't. I really don't.
You're going to be a little bit mad when I say it. Okay. My number one most underrated thing or person is Tony Romo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, all right. Yeah. Just talk and I'll hang out over here.
Okay, perfect. So this article was 2015, so it might be a little bit out of date, but it was the last time Romo played, so maybe people have passed him, but I'm going to assume no. Second highest passer rating in NFL history. He has a career yards per attempt, 7.9, which is higher than every active quarterback in 2015, except for Aaron Rodgers, and he is tied for the sixth most of all time. Among active quarterbacks in 2015, only Rodgers and Manning had a higher touchdown percentage. His touchdown interception rank is fourth, behind Rodgers, Brady, Manning, Peyton Manning, all Hall of Famers. Sure, he never won a Super Bowl, but it is a team sport, and that does not matter because Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. Eli Manning's won a couple Super Bowl, and he fucking sucks. Joe Flacco's won a Super Bowl, and he sucks. Just not a good argument, so shut your mouth if that is your argument. He's also very clutch. He has the second highest rated active fourth quarter passing rating. Oh, I bumbled that one. Behind Aaron Rodgers. And it was only 0.2% behind him. But he had a higher yards per average, and he had a higher completion percentage. He also had the highest rated December quarterback passer rating that this century. He is incredibly clutch when it matters most. His team just constantly let him down. Incredibly underrated. Tony Romo's fantastic. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And yeah, I don't need a response from you unless if you're in complete agreement. If not, let's move on to your most underrated.
He is a weird case study, you know? Because, I feel like, you know, if you look at across the sports landscape, right? Like, you know, the Cowboys are one of, if not, you know, the marquee franchise. And so, you would think, you know, if you apply that to other sports, right? Like, you know, the Lakers' best player is always going to get overrated in the media. I mean, not now, because it's LeBron. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think Kobe was a little bit overrated because he was a Laker.
Right, or, yeah, just whoever. Even now, Alex Caruso, or whatever. You could make that, yeah. You know. But that Absolutely. Really didn't happen with Tony Romo. And I don't really know why.
I don't, and it doesn't happen with Dak either.
He should have been overrated.
He should have been, absolutely.
I don't know why.
I don't get it either, because a lot of people think he was just a straight up bad quarterback, but he was as good as all of his peers, if not better than all of his peers.
And there was that I just remember that when Dak got hurt or whatever or something, and he had to play the year they were still together, and he just
Dak didn't get hurt. They sat him for the final drive because it was going to be Romo's last play game as a Cowboy.
Yeah, and he just shredded him, and he was like, oh yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he was obviously better than Romo, than Dak Prescott was in 2016.
Yeah.
he came in, and he went 5 for 5, and moved 80 yards down the field and scored a touchdown.
Yeah. He's an interesting one. You're gonna hate this. You're gonna hate this. I'm not gonna say the Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl thing. But is it just the? I feel like that the botched hold affected his career greatly in the eyes of the. I don't know. Do you think I'm right or wrong?
No, I think you're. I think it not affected his career, but it affected.
Yeah, not his career. Yeah.
A lot of people view him as a choke because he had that, and then a couple other high profile losses. because we're the Cowboys and we're always playing primetime, you know? And people just remember those losses, but don't remember all of his clutch comebacks and his clutch performances. But yeah, no, I think the hold put a stigma on him his entire career.
Because that was like really early in his career, right?
That was the first season he played. Or the first full season he played. I can't remember. Okay. But no, yeah, I think that absolutely played an effect on all of it, 100%.
Yeah, it's just, it's interesting. It's just like everything points to he should have been like
way over it, like
a god. But
he just wasn't. And it just makes, because the same thing's happening to Dak, and I'm a very biased person, but I don't think I'm biased on these two people. Dak Prescott is like constantly labeled as like an borderline top 10, maybe outside the top 10 quarterback. Mm. He's borderline top 5 quarterback. Like he's a fucking baller.
He was really good last year, wasn't he?
Yeah. The first 6-7 weeks he was an MVP candidate. Like he was playing like an MVP.
Yeah. Yeah, that Romo's an interesting one. His Hall of Fame bid will be I feel like he's going to make it. I feel like as time goes on, people like will just look at the numbers, you know, and they forget everything else. And the numbers would say he's good enough.
Yeah, I think that will help his case. And then I also think him being the best announcer in the game will help his case.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about it. Yeah, like I think he's still like he's in everyone's mind as like someone who's really smart now. I mean, obviously he was.
Yeah, always, so I think smarter, but. People just like realize how smart he is. I think right after he retired, I thought there was no way he would get in the Hall of Fame. Now I think there's a chance. I think it's possible.
Also, the way he retired was weird. I think that also is like another thing that, like, how he got replaced. It was strange.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody who. Who follows the Cowboys very closely that thinks 2016 Dak was better than 2014 Romo. But he was playing on such a high level that you couldn't not keep playing Dak. They went like 13-3. They kept winning.
Yeah.
But also Romo was like a better quarterback at that time. You know, like
that was a very like unique situation.
Yeah, it was weird. And Romo, to his credit, did not cause a problem in the locker room. He was very graceful. He was obviously very frustrated, but I think like Aaron Rodgers would have thrown a fit. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that would not have put up with that.
If
ruin that season for them.
Yeah, if Romo was like had the brain of Rodgers, Romo would be like. Fucking, he would be the quarterback of the Giants right now. Like he would,
100%.
Like, maybe not the Giants because of the timing. So it would have because they would for some reason they were still in loyal to Eli. Definitely the Redskins or the Washington football team.
Washington football team. So fucking stupid.
Yeah, they just need to pick a name. We're obviously pro name.
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, they should have changed the name, just not to Washington Football Team.
Yeah, as a podcast, you just change its name. We are pro name changes.
Oh, you're goddamn right. What's your number one most underrated thing?
Mine is actually when you're saying it, I think I realized like mine's like a similar thing for me, but just more music related, but mine's Velvet Underground.
Yeah, they're super underrated. Yeah. They're underrated in terms of, like the general consensus, but like I think passionate fans don't realize that.
Yeah. Like again, they're kind of like the David Gilmour thing. Like they're critically acclaimed, and like I feel like you know a lot of like you know people in the music industry are well aware of how good they were, but. General like the mainstream doesn't realize like how influential they were and just how generally how good they are.
Yeah, I that just the whole like is it their self-titled? It's their album with Nico that whole album is a perfect album.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Velvet Underground song?
Song. It's hard. Like, so their other albums have like a lot of actually good. Like, I dove into some of their other ones. So there's only like four that are real Velvet Underground albums. There's like a fifth one that's like highly controversial because it has none of the original members, but it's still technically by Velvet Underground. I think I'm Waiting for My Man is like one of the most influential songs that no one's ever heard.
Like, how has it been influential?
A lot of people trace punk to it. As like one of the influences of it. There's a lot of stuff at the time, but like.
I knew people traced punk to the Velvet Underground. I didn't know it was that song, though.
It's that song, and then, like, their second album has, like, a few songs that... Because they were the whole... You know, they weren't... It was, like, Lou Reed's, like, gravelly voice, and he was, like, kind of half-sing, half-talk thing, which, you know, went on to be... easy to see how that evolved into punk. But yeah, I'm Waiting for My Man. Was like that. That was the song that on their first album that he did that on.
Yeah, you really can't tell what era it's from. It could be anywhere from the '60s to like present day.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But yeah, they're a good band, and they're just like in a weird time, and the Andy Warhol thing was really weird. Like, I think not for the better, but then again, like, the band happened, so like it's hard to say it was bad.
Yeah,
but like that relationship,
it was very complicated.
Yeah, the whole thing was weird. The whole thing it was all like weird, and it was like a really short period of time. And but yeah, Velvet Underground is my number one underrated thing. I can't believe I didn't think of Tony Romo.
Yeah, I'm kind of mad you didn't think of it. I thought that was going to be too obvious.
No, I didn't even think about it. Especially when you come out with Brussels sprouts. All right, what's your full list?
I'm going to be honest with you. I accidentally deleted my list mid-episode, so I'm going to do this off of memory. Okay. You have Brussels sprouts. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot the fifth.
Was it? I know ABBA was in there, but I don't think it was fifth.
ABBA's later. All right, so you have Brussels sprouts. Oh my god!
ABBA,
the fifth one.
And Tony Romo are your top six.
ABBA, Tony Romo, Winter Olympics.
Well, Winter Olympics, yeah.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf was your fifth, I think.
I think that was my fourth, man.
Jeez. I don't think so. I don't know.
All right, then what was my third?
So okay, so we had Brussels sprouts, Shia. Winter Olympics, was that your third?
Yeah, that was my third. That was my second.
Oh, Winter Olympics was your second, okay. What was that other one we just said?
All right, let's go from first to six. You have Romo. Okay. You have Winter Olympics. Okay. You have ABBA. No.
ABBA might have been fourth.
Oh my god!
What?
How do we not remember?
What?
How do we not remember?
Star Born?
No, that was an honorable mention.
I thought you remembered it. That's why you're saying, "Oh my god, why don't we remember it?"
Dude, I'm just embarrassed. We can't remember. I can't remember. It's my fucking list.
Yeah. Why did you delete it?
I didn't mean to. I like stumbled on my phone.
I'm pretty sure we're missing the third one.
Oh man.
I could be wrong. I think it was Brussels sprouts, Shia, ABBA, something, Winter Olympics, Tony Romo.
Oh, dog licking the face.
Oh, yeah, fuck you, yeah.
We did it. Okay, we did it.
Maybe that was...
No, that was third, though. ABBA was four.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay, mine was Velvet Underground, Mexican beer with lime, vodkas, the horror genre. We didn't even talk about Host, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Just
another compliment to the horror genre that a quarantine movie was made well within it.
And made well.
Yeah. David Gilmour was my fifth, and then Hot Sake was my sixth. I forgot I did that. All right. I think it's time to move on to Fuck This Thing. What do you have yours at the ready?
I do. Unpaid breaks. I think that's fucking ridiculous. If you're forcing me to take a break, pay me.
Yeah.
You can't force me and then not pay me. I'm getting paid like $14.50 an hour. Are you really saving? Are you really proud that you're saving $7 on my 30-minute break you're forcing me to take? Fuck that's you.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Fuck unpaid breaks.
Okay. What should I do? I'm gonna do TV volume. I think TV volume is a scam. I don't believe the numbers on the screen reflect anything whatsoever with regards to what volume the noise out of the television is. I believe all TVs have like 4 or 5 stages of volume, and that's it. Because I don't believe there's a difference between like 46 and 47 on the volume thing. There's no difference, and it's just a lie. It's just a lie to make me think it's just probably all in people's heads. I feel like there's just like low, medium, high, and that's it.
I agree. Let's make it 1 out of 10. Let's make it 1 out of 10 and simplify things.
Yeah, it's just it's bullshit, and it's just I'm tired of being lied to, you know.
You know, from politics to our televisions, we are just constantly being gaslit. Gaslighted.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's a disaster. Someone needs to do something about this. Okay. Well, that was our underrated things. Thank you for listening to the very first episode of the Noah and Eric Show. We're going to end this because we're not going to say stay drunk anymore because we're matured.
I don't know what we're going to say.
I think
we don't have a sign-off yet.
The sign-off is just going to be what our fuck this things were, I think. Because we've kind of been doing that and then saying the drunk thing.
Yeah.
So with that, fuck unpaid breaks and fuck TV volume metrics.
Fuck you.